Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin. If you're looking for a dull, feel-good religion, or clap your hands, sit around the campfire, kumbaya, you've come to the wrong place. We are dealing with toxic levels of authentic masculinity. I would say good luck. But luck is for pagans.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles, Juan on the buttons, Jim taking pictures and standing by the door, making sure no one's going to break in. Welcome one and all to the show. If this is your first time listening, we are a radio show podcast. We do three things every episode, or typically.
Are we a mashup? Radio show podcast mashup?
Maybe.
Remix?
No, definitely not a remix.
Okay. We're more original.
More original than that.
Yeah.
We typically do three things. We enjoy a beverage, we highlight a gear, and then we have a discussion.
We'll be doing all three today.
Good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're also going to be going to the a men's conference soon. It's going to be nice to travel and see other Catholic men.
That will be great. I'm really excited about this.
Yes. We're going to the Diocese of Allentown in Pennsylvania. Going to the cathedral there, where they have a limited number of spots.
I hear Allentown is the Vegas of Pennsylvania.
Really?
I actually
who told you that?
Father Cosgrove told me that today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I believe almost everything that Father Cosgrove says.
He says it's the Vegas of Pennsylvania.
Well, I don't know what that says about Pennsylvania.
The Vegas of Pennsylvania doesn't sound that awesome.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
That's nothing against Pennsylvania.
Hey, something really cool.
I just don't associate Pennsylvania and Vegas. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Something really cool, though, about Father Cosgrove.
Well, you say that. I'm going to open this.
Very good. My son, my oldest son, Luke Michael Minahan, served his first Mass, Holy Mass.
Yes.
With Father Cosgrove.
And did a bang-up job.
And did an awesome job. He was very on point. He was very focused on what his job was. And whatever Father Cosgrove, he did it without any kind of training either.
Yeah. Now, that's what I thought was so impressive, is that he just stepped up
and did it.
And did it.
Now, it was a home mass.
It was here in your living room, but he was still able to anticipate. That's without any practice. He still was able to anticipate.
He knew when to wash the hands of the priest. Like,
yeah. A couple times he was early with some things.
Right.
But it was his first time with no practice.
Aren't you excited? Don't you get excited and get a little early? Get a little jump start on things?
I don't know what that means, but the answer is no.
Well, sometimes,
Adam,
when you get excited, you just get excited and you're there a little early.
Okay.
So.
I'm sure that's just exactly what you mean. Nothing else.
That's right. What are we drinking tonight?
We're drinking Ardbeg Black.
Ardbeg Black.
Black.
Okay. It's a 20th anniversary limited edition Ardbeg.
Because black whiskey matters, okay?
It is from... It's a aged in Pinot Noir casks. Let's see. Here's the official tasting notes. The color is deep cherry blossom. The nose on the nose is baked fruit pudding, knits together seamlessly with cedar wood and aromatic cigar box.
Yeah, the cedar.
Actually, I do smell
cedar. I do smell cedar.
I actually do smell that. Oak tannins and rich truffles then break away to reveal subtle notes of smoky jam tart.
Jam tart,
yes. With a splash of water, intense aromas of bitter cherry, and a curiously zesty note emerges.
Yeah, a little cherry.
The taste, it says it's a velvety and surprisingly fiery mouthfeel, drives your palate into a complex symphony of contrasting flavors. Aniseed.
I'll bet they made that up.
A good soot. And summer fruits, such as cherries, strawberries, apricots, and pears, give way to a crumbly pastry, dark chocolate, coffee, and almonds. The finish is long, lingering, sooty finish. So that are the official tasting notes from Ardbeg.com. This is a limited release. I think we said that already. But it's ABV 46%.
It is a nice, long finish. Honestly, the soot is definitely there. I get the soot.
Really?
We were joking around before this about, go to that fireplace and get some of that soot, put it in a jar, and mix it with a little water. Bring it to me. That's what I want. What do you think? I wonder why it's called black.
Yeah, the tartness is instant, like on the very beginning of your palate, it hits you with that tart, that like not unripe cherry tartness.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, you do get a little bit of that soot and that classic Ardbeg smoky finish, the little iodine. The iodine comes in at the very end. It's like a final move, iodine there.
Ardbeg and iodine, they're like married together in my mind. Ardbeg. Yeah. And that is iodine.
It is interesting. Like, it transitions very well. It reminds you almost of a La Santa type of like sherry cast.
Uh-huh. I got kind of cherry on the nose,
and then like at the end, it comes into the sooty, the smoky iodine.
Get the soot?
I did actually get a little bit of soot.
Yeah, it's like, hey.
It's kind of weird. Jim, did you get it at all? Jim even said yes. Juan, what are your thoughts?
It's black because of the noir. Remember?
Right.
Yeah, the black because of the noir, the
but
Pinot
it's like
Noir.
They've got black sheep, like on the box and stuff. I was looking for a story about why it was named that, and I just didn't see one.
Well, Father Crappie... No, we're not going to go there. We won't go to Black Sheep, dog. We won't go there.
What? Father Crappie?
No, we won't go there. So I'm really excited, though, about the conference this weekend. There's a couple guys from the Council of Man who'll be there. That'll be fun to get a chance to see somebody. And just like to be a part of other Catholic communities again. I'm really hoping that this will get a... like.
Yeah.
We'll get the ball rolling again for 2021.
Like a... some sort of a semblance of normalcy.
Right.
I have a prediction that, so today the second vaccine was announced.
Yes. It was the one-upper.
It was the one-upper, yeah. It's like,
said, 90% beer.
I see your 90%.
And I raised it to 95.
Like almost
95.
Almost 95, right. Yeah. So I have a prediction that by summer of next year, people will be having shopping parties or... like going out of their way to do things that were normal in 2019. Like, hey,
I pray.
Let's get together and just go shopping or, just whatever it is.
I pray that's the case.
Yeah.
I'm ready for
me too.
Community again. I'm ready for everybody getting together again.
Definitely.
So that'll be exciting.
And just to be able to breathe regular in public.
Yeah, that'd be cool. when we not feel terrible. Like, so I'm in adoration. There's other people there in adoration with me, and I go, and then I instantly like, right. Oh, guys, listen, I'm not sick. I had a tickle in my throat. I'm not trying to like,
and it's not because I'm getting sick.
I'm not sick.
It just went. I just coughed.
Yeah.
And like, I know exactly the feeling.
I don't want people thinking that I'm showing up.
In Mass this last weekend, I had to cough halfway through, and I just powered through and held it the whole... I hated it. I hated every second of it.
You powered through it?
I didn't cough. Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be tough.
Because, you know, you're there in Mass, and I'm not wearing a mask in Mass because it's not required. And so I feel like... If I'm going to be that guy, you know, who's not wearing a mask, like, you better not be coughing, bro. You know, like, you could have worn a mask.
Right.
And I didn't.
Right.
So don't cough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That is pretty good.
But yeah, to be able to, I was just about to say that when you told that story. Like, we can cough in public.
And not people don't freak out.
People don't even notice, right. You know? So it's like, oh, yeah, well, he coughed. So it's just a normal thing.
Hey, can I tell you something else really cool? Let me brag about my other son, because I already did about Luke. Okay. I can brag a little bit about Jude. Both Luke and Jude are doing a really good job with fishing now, and to where they can tie their own knots. Like, they're getting very low maintenance in fishing.
Nice.
And Jude has just been, like, he has no fear when it comes to fish, when it comes to, you know, grabbing weird thing, you know, other animals. Like, he just grabs it. This weekend, he had a fish that I had caught, and he was wanting to hold it and take a picture, and I let him do that, and he dropped it, and he just went, and grabbed it, and then just went, see you later, and threw the fish and chunked it across the pond, and then he quickly grabbed his fishing pole and threw it right there where he chunked it.
I'm gonna catch it again.
I
used to try to do that.
He obviously didn't, but really what I was going to say is that on the way back, he saw that Luke was struggling with the tackle box and the fishing pole, and he offered to carry Luke's fishing pole on the way back.
Nice.
All the way back. And those are the kind of moments that you just look and you say, yes, things are working. Parenting is working.
Right.
You know, like when you have another thing that happened this last weekend, we had to have leaves raked, the lawn needed to be mowed, I needed to split wood, you know, winter's coming. I have Luke mowing, I have Jude raking leaves, and I'm like splitting the wood. I'm just thinking like, yes, this is, I have arrived at fatherhood. Like, like my boys are doing great.
We're hitting on all cylinders.
We're hitting, and they're doing their thing. And I almost stopped because I heard Luke turn the mower off, and I thought, I need to go help him unload it. But I just taught him how to take the bag off and redo it, and said, nope, I'm going to wait. I'm going to let him do it.
Yeah, let him struggle.
And he struggled, and then he pulled the cord and started it back up himself and kept going. And I was like, I'm so glad this happened.
Wow.
He did it himself. We were all exhausted. I waited for just a second. My daughter, beautiful Anna Faustina, walks out with water for everybody, serving the boys water to, you know, when it was hot outside. I was like, yes, this is service. This is family service with one of them. It was just awesome. It was just such a grace-filled moment.
Yeah.
As a father.
You're also sexist, but that's fine.
That's okay. We'll be right back.
Okay. Don't ruin my story. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We got Jim Spencer and Elwan Posada in the house. This segment brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker, catholicwoodworker.com. Use promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases.
We're having the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show being launched. You can pre-order it even.
It's available for pre-order now, huh?
It will be available for purchase full-time in December, I believe.
Can you use promo code TCMS for 10% off?
Yes, you can.
Purchase on the official Catholic Man Show rosary?
Yes, you can.
Is it the official rosary?
Rosary of the Catholic Man Show.
So it's not the Catholic Man Show rosary.
It is the official rosary
of the Catholic Man Show. So it's like you're the assistant to the regional manager.
Yes.
Not the assistant regional manager.
But I'm the director of sales, which is higher.
That's true. And then assistant to the regional manager, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this, speaking of woodworking, this weekend, I was, me and Stuart Barrett, our buddy Stuart Barrett, we were splitting wood by hand.
Yeah, I saw you. I saw
with a hydraulic wood splitter.
I was a little like upset that I wasn't even didn't get the invite.
Yeah, but we were doing it by hand with the wood splitter because we used our hand to do the lever.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was like one of those wood splitters where you actually have to push. No, it's a hydraulic one.
It was a hydraulic wood splitter, but we were by hand putting the wood on the thing
and then
pushing the lever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go.
This wood, I tried to split it with my axe. It was just not going to happen.
What kind of wood is it?
I don't know. Oh. It was the tree that was behind my neighbor's house in the park.
Hmm.
And remember, I called to have it cut him down. And then as they were cutting it down, I said, hey, can I have this wood? And the guy, he said, well, no, I can't give it to you, but I can leave it here. And if it's not here when I come back, that's cool. I said, sweet, bro. Anyway, so the man gear today is an air compressor. Do you have an air compressor?
I don't, but I would love one.
Super jelly. Super jelly of me for having one, huh?
I would never say that because I'm a man, but sure. I am.
Could be jalapeno jelly. That's manly.
Yes.
You don't even know.
That's like the difference in
you didn't even ask what kind of jelly it was.
You have three daughters, and like those are like daughter terms that you would say.
It's actually a sister term. It's something my sister says.
Okay.
And it rubs off.
Sure.
So, yeah, I got one in this last year. It was actually Pamela's grandfather who passed away. He was a...
God rest his soul.
Indeed. He was a good man. Mm-hmm.
Knew my relatives?
Yeah.
My kin?
He did, yeah. And all of his children stayed in the church.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
We talked about the other episode about a good death, like that being on my deathbed, knowing that all my, and I kind of said, you know, when your kids are showcasing their faith to you in public, that is a good death, knowing that all of your kids.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes for a good death, but it makes for a peaceful one. I think, you know, it gives you comfort and peace at your death,
which would probably
contribute. Yeah,
sure.
But anyway, so he was a excellent woodworker. He had a awesome wood shop.
Yes, he was phenomenal woodworker.
Yeah. He made some stuff for our radio auction.
Mm-hmm.
But so I got his air compressor. It's nothing fancy. It's just a pancake air compressor. It's not expensive, it's not super nice, but it does everything that I need it to.
What do you use it for?
Well, I mean, so far I've used it for a variety of things. Right now I'm using it to run my nail gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple people say, oh, that's not going to be big enough. It's not, you know, there's not, it doesn't have the flow, the CFMs or something, the flow, whatever. But it works just fine. So it will kick on. The compressor will, when I'm using my nail gun with it, after about five, shots, it'll kick back on.
Mm-hmm.
But the nail gun can operate anywhere between like 70 to 100 PSI, and it compresses up to like 110. And so I can probably put in 10, 11, or 12 nails before it gets down to 70, where it'll start to misfire a little bit. Like, so it works just fine. I mean, because when I'm hanging siding, which is what I'm doing right now, like, it's not like I'm putting in 20 nails all in a rush.
Sure.
You know, you're going to put
it's
up
not
a
like
board.
Trim work or something like that where you're. Or decking.
Decking or fencing or roofing where you might go just like literally.
Sure.
So it works great. I've also used it to air up my tires on my car. It makes bike tires a cinch.
Yeah, you know when fall is hit, when you get the low...
Right, everybody... Low, yeah, exactly.
And you have to go air up your tires.
Yeah, and I had a slow leak in my tire, which wasn't a problem until it got cold. Yeah, and so I was having to stop at the gas station every 3 days, and I put up with it for like a week and a half, and finally I went and got it taken care of. But the air compressor is really nice. So this pancake air compressor, I think I heard someone call it a pig air compressor. I don't know if that's an official term, but pancake is a pretty common term for it.
It's
probably 5 gallon tank on a compressor. I was looking them up today. You can get them for $99.
Okay, that's not bad.
And
would you spend the little bit more to get a bigger one?
I have not needed a bigger one,
but you've used it minimally.
Yeah,
knowing that if you had to go boom, 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 boom,
I'm using it for a nail gun, which is about as much of a. Okay, the only thing that would be more flow than this is if you had like an air ratchet.
Okay.
You know, one sure. of those wah, yep. rah, things that the mechanics use. That uses a lot of air.
Mm-hmm.
This would not be enough for that.
Sure.
But very few people are going to be doing that. You know, like, but if you want to have an air compressor around the house, which now that I have one is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is really nice. It totally changed the game on airing up bike tires.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Come here.
Yeah.
Psh, done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
looks like yours is a little low. Come over here.
Right. Yeah, come here. Oh, I'm just going to spray it in your face. Right. Yeah, because I did. I went and got all these, you know, it's like $10 for all these attachments for it. And one of them is just, I don't know what it's for. I think it's for like cleaning up a work area, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It just sprays a bunch of air everywhere. So you can spray it on people.
Nice.
But yeah, so $100. I personally think that this is one of those areas, one of those things you don't need to go get like the best brand, especially if you're just getting.
That's good to know. Because I'm a sucker for if I'm going to go buy something to buy either the same brand that I have of my other things
yeah.
or like right. knowing like, oh, hey, I already have a Milwaukee this. I'm mm-hmm. going to get a Milwaukee that.
Right. Yeah, because like on a lot of your power tools, especially your cordless ones, you want to get the same brand so you can
right.
keep the same family of batteries, you know?
Right.
You don't want a battery. It's like, oh, I have this tool and it uses its own battery. And then now you got chargers all over the wall.
Right.
This is something they're universal. So they're all the same. I mean, you can go get I saw a Porter cable on, you know, I just was mm-hmm. looking it up mm-hmm. on the way over here. $99. A Craftsman, $99. I saw one that was a Craftsman that came with a finishing nail gun and a brad gun for $179.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know if Craftsman makes a good finishing sure. nail guns and brad guns, but for $179, like, that seems like a pretty good deal. So anyway, it's been really awesome to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also allowed me the capability to do more around the house. Because now I can use a nail gun.
Right. And that's, you know, part of the deal is like you want to make sure that you can utilize it more than one. Like, I hate buying tools that I can only use for this one job.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
So to answer your other question about getting a bigger one, I would not, because of my space confinement, I do not have a very big garage.
Yeah, neither do I.
But I also put cars in my garage.
And I do not.
Right. So I have my space that's available in the garage is super limited.
Mm-hmm.
So to get a bigger one would just take up too much space.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I have is nice because it's not heavy. I can carry it around, you know.
Mm-hmm. Very portable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So cool. To me, I think this is... that's the one to get, like, unless you're doing something big.
Right.
And if you are, then you don't need to listen to me about air compressors.
You already know it.
You know what you need, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. What are you reading right now?
Well, I'm still working through The Discernment of Spirits.
Okay.
By
Dan Burke?
No, by Father Gately? Father Michael? No, Father Discernment
okay.
of Spirits.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember. By a priest. It's really great. I was reading our book that we'll be discussing tonight. I finished that.
Yes. The essay. I was so excited that you chose a topic from the Peepster, from Joseph
yeah,
Pieper. Like, as a guy who is a big Pieper fan.
I feel like it's just us talking about the Peepster. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I don't know.
Are other people doing podcasts on Peepster?
I'm sure they are.
Where are they? I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
where are they at?
The thing about it is,
he should
I
be more popular.
The thing is, I don't listen to very many podcasts anymore.
I don't listen to any podcasts anymore.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if other people are. But Joseph Pieper, listen, let me tell you something. If you're jumping into philosophy, you don't have any background in philosophy, you specifically like St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
St. Aquinas is a little maybe too heady for you, or like, for me, a lot of times I can read St. Thomas and be like, okay, I think I understand that, but if I could ever explain it, or if I had to explain it, I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Um, I, I think I understand it reading it, but I couldn't explain it to you verbally.
Right.
If you're looking for, and you're looking for something that, some quick hits, some quick reads that you feel accomplished that you've actually read something.
Yeah, the Peepster.
Joseph Peepster.
Yeah, he wrote all these essays, and I agree. I was just telling someone of this today that if you want to get to know Thomas, maybe reading Thomas is not the right way to start off. Read people like Joseph Peepster, who give all this commentary.
Peeper, but not Peep.
Well, I know. Right. The Peepster.
The Peepster, yeah.
Because he gives all this commentary on Aquinas that is so much more helpful. Because right. He can, it's, you know, it's like, oh, that's what he means.
Right. And we're going to talk tonight about abusive language, abusive power. It's a quick, easy read you can get from Ignatius Press. I think it's only 54 pages long. It's easy read.
Easy read.
But very, very good. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Talking about Joseph Peepster this evening. Big fan of Joseph Peepster. His book, Leisure, the Basis of Culture, is phenomenal. His Four Cardinal Virtues book is a game changer.
Yeah, the Four Cardinal Virtues is incredible.
It is I would highly recommend reading that, going into reading the second part of the Summa, where Aquinas talks about all the virtues. Peepster being it, like, if you read the Four Cardinal Virtues first, he breaks it down very where you can understand it. There's not too much flattery, if you will.
A little foreshadowing here.
But you're able to comprehend it to where it helps you as you move forward.
Right. Yeah. No, super good book. And that's actually one of his real books. Like a lot of the stuff by Peepster
is his essays, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because what we're talking about today, it's published in, if you're seeing it on the screen, this is the, thank you. This is the book, and this is actually two essays put together. We're only talking today about the first one, which is the title here, Abusive Language, Abusive Power. The second one, I believe, is Abusive Knowledge. Oh, Knowledge and Freedom is the second one. So this is only about 30-plus pages, and when we say pages, like, these pages are very small. So
very easy
to read. If you sit down, this is a one-hour read.
Yep.
I'm not a very fast reader. If you're, you know, there are people who can read a whole book in a day.
I know, man. It's phenomenal.
So if you're one of those people, this is like a 15-minute read for you.
Yep.
But also this, you
my social media is the worst.
It's the worst. Social media.
I love looking back at my notes as I read through this.
I made a comment in here in my notes about social
media. Okay, so let's start. Okay.
So
I'm sorry.
Let's just get right into it. So we're talking about abusing the language and how that is ultimately going to lead to abusing power, which is just a very fascinating connection. But the first thing is that words matter.
I agree.
Words have a twofold purpose. All of this is according to this essay. Okay, so I'm not going to repeat myself according to Peepster, according to this essay.
Right.
Everything we're talking about is in this essay. So Peepster says that words do two things. The first thing is that they convey reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that the second thing is that they inherently have an interpersonal character, which means that by conveying, you must be conveying to someone. So that there is this other person, the fact that you're using words means that you're talking to a person. And so those are the two things.
It's part of communion.
Right, exactly. That there must be conveying reality to somebody else. So those are the two things. He says, in the very attempt to know reality, there is already present the aim of communication. So that you can express it to someone. Word and language form the medium that sustain the common existence of the human spirit. Okay, so it's not the common existence, but it's the medium of the existence of the human spirit. If the word becomes corrupted, human existence itself will not remain unaffected and untainted. So, look at that. There it is on the screen. That is incredible. How did that even happen?
You guys should go check. Like, if you don't check out our YouTube channel,
that is amazing.
Go check it out just for a few minutes.
It's right there.
Juan does a phenomenal job, and he's stepping up his game. Every week, he's adding something new now.
That's the exact same thing that I said. That's amazing. So, Peeper poses a perplexing ponderance. How'd you like that?
That was perfect.
Thank you. He asks the question, can a lie be considered communication?
Well, I know the answer because right. I've already read it.
You've read the essay.
He says no.
Well, he doesn't say no, but he says, I tend to say no.
Right. He because, again, what are the two forms of of language?
Yeah. One of them is reality. It conveys reality.
Right.
So a lie, in fact,
does not convey reality. In fact, he talks about how with lies, a lot of times there's like this sliver of truth. So a lot of times, like with propaganda, things like that, there's these like sliver of truths. Mm-hmm. But the main projection of what they're saying is a lie.
Right.
And Dave, you and I have had a struggle with this before. Whenever we run the Catholic radio station here in Tulsa, and we've had this idea, people have proposed like, "Hey, you should run something different other than the Catholic, but maybe a Christian deal, Christian songs or something like that."
Sure.
And because we run the station, we've decided no, we're not going to do that. Not because
it's not good.
It's not.
Christian music is not. It's not bad.
Right. Well, sometimes it is.
It's not inherently bad.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. But we don't want, even though if there's a sliver of truth, there could be some.
Right.
The principle of the integral good plays a role here.
A partial truth is a sinister form of a lie.
Yes. And the principle of the integral good plays a role here.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about flattery.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I got you off track,
no, that's
but
okay.
Go ahead.
No, but no, I appreciate that. That's a good comment. So Peeper says that a lie is the opposite of communication. So he says he doesn't come out and definitively say, no, it's not communication. But then he goes on to explain that is definitively no. He kind of leaves the door open and then slams it shut. He says it's the opposite of communication. It means specifically to withhold the other's share and portion of reality.
Gosh, and how many times I've had to confess this in confession so many times of not necessarily telling a lie, but not giving the truth to the person who is due that truth. Like withholding truth.
Yeah, that's a different sin
than lying. Just lying.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I lied about it. It's just I know that you're asking me a question and you're wanting a specific answer, and I decide instead and this is also like if you're a sales guy.
But sometimes those are so hard because sometimes in the moment, like, you don't have time to discern what is the appropriate.
Right,
so you do your best.
Well, but
you know what I mean?
That's why habit is, the virtue is so important of telling exactly the truth. Like your yes be yes and your no be no.
In the moment, you just try to do your best.
Right.
You're not capable of doing better than that. You know, like, if you honestly were striving for, the right thing.
Right.
And you didn't reach it.
But there are times that
in reflection.
There are times that I've thought, if I tell you this, it won't reflect good on me or somebody else. And so I'm going to go a different route and just avoid that altogether and bypass what you're really asking and kind of.
So that's that. The sin would be cowardice.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So
it's against fortitude.
Yeah, because if you're afraid how it will reflect on you. That's
or others, or others.
Okay, if it's others, that's different. But if you're defending others, that might not be a sin at all. That's totally different. Maybe that could be its own topic someday. About
gosh, I'm not smart enough to. Even
you could be defending the reputation of others. It's all situational.
Sure,
it's all situational. So, okay. But because a lie isn't grounded in the truth in reality, then it fails to be communication because you're not communicating.
What does he say it is?
Reality. Well, he would say it's a monologue. Mm-hmm. So it's not a dialogue. You're not having discussion.
I'm glad you said that because I knew the answer.
Right.
I just wanted to see what you said.
It's not. Even the party being lied to might think that they're in a dialogue. They're not. Whoever is speaking is guiding. Because whoever in speaking is guided by something other than the truth, such a person no longer considers the other as a partner or as equal or even as human. So lying in this circumstance, and we're not actually talking about any form of lying here. We're talking about a specific form of lying. This essay, he keeps referring back to Socrates and his dialogues that Aristotle wrote about the dialogues of Socrates with the sophists.
Mm-hmm.
And the sophists were these people at the time. And didn't Augustine... didn't he encounter the sophists?
Yeah.
I think he did. I mean, like, his rhetoric training, he was trained by sophists, I believe.
Sure. Okay.
And so it was all about how to persuade at the sake of... I mean, like, they didn't care about telling the truth. They just cared about persuading.
Yeah.
And just winning. Exactly. Winning. So communication, lying is dehumanizing because it treats the other person as a means to an end. And we'll get to that here in just a second. But this is the part that I think you're really jazzed about. So if you're not communicating, what is it that is taking place?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is?
Well, you already said it.
It's flattery.
It's flattery.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because we think about flattery as, oh, you're so beautiful.
Right. And
you're so good at this.
I was like, flattery. In fact, I think I even, in the column here, I was like, flattery, this is like, I had like three question marks. Like, flattery, question mark. Like, where are you going here, peepster?
Mm-hmm.
And then as like four paragraphs later, I was like, aha.
Aha.
Yeah, because flattery isn't what he's meaning, what we think flattery means.
Yeah, well, we actually did an episode on flattery. It's like something flattery and fatherhood. We did it
a while back. About that.
It was your topic.
Gosh.
And we talked
about it.
It was
brilliant.
Like the, it was...
I think it was earth-shattering.
Eloquent.
I think so.
Exquisitely eloquent.
Exquisitely eloquent.
And so we talked about the vice of flattery back then.
Yeah, I remember that now, yeah.
But so he says that flattery is not important whether it's true or false. The thing that's said, it's not important. Flattery doesn't matter. Mm. But it's the intention behind what is said. So according to like this form of flattery, you would flatter someone in order to get something out of them.
You're no longer treating them as a human being. Right. The dignity of a human is
right.
Being degraded.
This is where you're now treating them as a means to an end.
Right.
And not as a person.
Right.
They're just a thing to be used.
Yeah, because you end up controlling them. Like, yeah. The reason why the rhetoric is being used to control them, which is like the whole propaganda scheme. I mean, that's what people use.
They're just a lever that you're pulling.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jim Spencer, a.k.a. The Spinster.
If you're a Patreon member, you're going to get a Christmas card.
From the Spinster.
Gift from all of us.
But he's going to be the one to send it to you.
No, he won't.
Oh, you're talking about something else. Yes.
So
we're talking about the other thing.
The other thing.
The thing, not the thing, but the other thing.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Patreon.com/TheCatholicManShow.
Yeah. If you want to support us, if you listen to our show and say, like, those guys, I want to support them, come and be a patron. You can be on our private Facebook page mm-hmm. where all things manly happen on the internet. Really, the Facebook page is awesome. It, even though it has grown, it has not degraded in the slightest down the rabbit hole of like Catholic Twitter. It is nothing like Catholic Twitter.
Which I'm grateful for.
It's a safe space.
Yeah. Hey, so here's a question that I have. So, like...
Is there a Catholic parlor?
I have no idea. I don't know. This is not something I even want to...
I feel like that could be worse. I feel like Catholic parlor could be worse than Catholic Twitter.
Yeah. Right? So, here's a question. So, when people are just talking, he's talking about abuse of power, or abusive language is abuse of power.
Yeah.
The reason why you would even abuse language is to gain the power... Because
our fallen language is the medium of human existence.
Right, exactly. And like, because of our fallen nature, like, all throughout history, we can see time and time again, people wanting to have power over the other person.
Right.
Because once you have, once you take away their language or once you control their language, you're able to have domination over them.
Right.
Why is that? Why do we... Is it pride? Is that what it is?
Do we want that?
Why do we want... And, I mean, this is something that every man, every person struggles with of, like... Why do people want to be famous? Is because they want to have be able to do the things that they want to do.
I do not want to be famous. Like the idea of being famous.
It sounds terrible.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, because you're critiqued every time you're behind
but
a microphone.
I mean, that could be those could be different. I don't know about wanting power. I mean, I think it could be they're insecure. They have insecurities, and so by having power over people, that makes them feel safe. Because now they're not worried about being dominated, because they're on top. I don't know. Fallen nature, I'm not
pride.
Sure.
I mean,
all of them. Right. I'm sure there's as many reasons as there are people trying to do it. Or maybe not. Maybe it's all one reason.
But why is it that we always fall back? Why is it? It seems like that we always... We never learn from history. It's everything is so cyclical that...
Because we don't study it. I mean, that's one reason.
It's probably
but also, it's one thing when you see other people do it. We judge the Israelites in the desert. But then we all do the same stuff. I wouldn't commit that sin until we're there. And all of a sudden...
You commit it.
How many times have I prayed, in just romanticizing about suffering? Suffer. And then, the slightest thing. It's like...
Well, everybody wants to suffer.
What is this?
Yeah, everybody wants to suffer until the suffering begins.
Right.
So as soon as it begins, no one wants to suffer anymore. Right. Except for the saints.
Mm-hmm.
They rejoice in it.
Yeah, they like it.
Because they get to offer it up to our Lord. Yeah. And that is where I want to be.
Me too. Well...
I do. I want to be there.
But I don't want to suffer to get there.
But I just want to take the easy road.
Right, can I just get a
easy
special
street.
Some grace or
right.
something?
It's tough. Okay.
I mean, that's what you did for Mary.
So let's talk about flattery.
Okay, so like I said, it's not important, but it's if it's true or false, but it's the intention behind the statement that makes it flattery. So Pieper says that I address the other not simply to please him or to tell him something that's true. Rather, what I'm saying to him is designed to get something from him.
Again, it goes back.
He's a means to an end, okay? And I don't know, when was he writing this? Early 1900s? 1920s?
No, I think this one was
40s.
I think this was more in the 70s.
I don't even know when he died. Okay.
He died in the 90s.
And this was published in
1974.
Published in 1970, actually. 1970. 74. This edition was 74.
84.
I actually looked this up earlier, and it was published originally in 1970 in Germany. It wasn't published as a book, I don't think.
The first edition says 74.
Right, as a book. But the essay was released, I believe, in 1970.
This edition, 1988.
Okay. So, the reason I'm asking is because what he says, he makes these comments about how flattery is everywhere these days in the culture. He talks about how we're just inundated with slogans and advertising and just media messages constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all attempting to do this. They're all trying to flatter us, to use us, to convince us to... They don't really care. They don't care about you as a person. They just want you to buy their stuff. They want your money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was talking to a guy... a female in Most Precious Blood. She had...
A female. Female human?
Female human being.
Okay.
She was saying something...
Raised by humans? A human raised by humans?
Raised by humans.
Okay.
She said something, I was like, wow, that... I've never thought about that. She said
You didn't expect such a profound thing out of a female?
Come on. No, that's not what I was meaning. She said something, and I was like, wow, that's something I had never thought
of.
Did
you overhear a man say that? I'm sorry.
I'm about to punch you. Kevin Mitchell punch. No, she said that the brighter, the flashier things to try to get your attention is the faker they are. Vegas. You see these bright flashing lights. You see all these
they need it.
They need something.
You wouldn't go there otherwise
because it attracts your. It gets your attention and. There is something pleasing about this.
Right.
Right. That's why that there's the reason why social media is pleasing and addictive is because there's something that a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
But the world does not give us something that will satisfy us. So what it does, what does it do? It continues to flatter you. It continues to give you new things, new fads, new things that you can hear or talk about every 6 months. And when I was reading this book, you know what it reminded me of?
Hmm.
The Great Gatsby.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because
I read that recently.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I haven't read it since high school, I think. But, you know, here he is trying to flatter all these people, host all these big parties, and, you know, have all these people over to get them to like him.
Right.
And then he dies, and
none of
those people come.
Right. Except for one dude.
Except for one.
Who is trapped in his library.
Right. But, you know, it's just like, it made me realize, made me think about, what am I doing that is substantial and, like, meaningful in my life, and what is not?
Right. It's almost like,
What am I doing that's trying to impress others? Because everybody likes to be liked. Everybody likes to say, like, to hear, oh, I'm so grateful for you, or like, I'm so thankful, like, you helped me so much in this, or everybody likes to be praised. Everybody likes to be wanted. Everybody wants to hear good things about them. That's just the reality of who we are. Like,
yeah.
No, everybody would love.
You want to feel known.
You want to feel known.
Yeah.
And that's something that you combat all
and
the
that's
time.
That's the whole purpose of communication, is like, I can now convey the reality of myself to you. I can tell you my thoughts because of language.
You
know, and so that's why it's so important not to corrupt it.
Yeah.
So one thing that Pieper says is that it can hardly be denied that our language, through all this, indeed progressively loses its character as communication. And he's talking about these media messages. He says it more and more tries to influence while less and less says anything. Exactly,
I totally agree.
Exactly, I mean, what you were saying.
I mean, that's totally. I mean, that's it, right? I mean, how many times are you saying that you're not saying anything, but you're trying to just please? You're just trying to your concupiscible appetites. You're just trying to, you know, get them going.
Yeah. So I want to read this quote here. This is a little bit of a longer quote, and typically I wouldn't do this, but this to me is like sums up the book, and it sums up our culture and the human condition. In our modern world.
Oh, man.
I know, it's big. The world wants to be deceived. It is indeed true, yet at the same time too narrow. What the world really wants is flattery, and it does not matter how much of it is a lie, but the world at the same time also wants the right to disguise, so that the fact of being lied to can easily be ignored. As I enjoy being affirmed in my whims and praised for my foibles, I also expect credibility to make it easy for me to believe, in good conscience, or at least without a bad conscience, that everything I hear, read, absorb, and watch is indeed true, important, worthwhile, and authentic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, oh, my life matters.
Right.
Why does your life matter? It was like, well, I retweeted something. You know, it was like, oh, I did the hashtag. It's like, and somehow you think that brings significance to your existence. Because you participated in the hashtag of the day or like whatever. And it's like people honestly think that is what brings significance to their lives, because they have so deceived themselves and they enjoy being deceived that social media is the real world. You know, instead of going outside and seeing if their neighbor is okay.
Hmm.
Or if, like, you know, there's people all around you, and here we are spending time with people we don't even know where they are. Like, the people on Facebook don't matter. They matter in their own right, in their own communities, but chances are they're not in your community. Like, what about your neighbor? Is your neighbor okay? Like, what about your aunt? Have you called your...
Are you okay, Dave?
Have you called your mom today?
Are you okay, Dave?
You know what I'm saying? I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, these are...
No,
we spend so much time, and, like, I know I've done it. I'll spend an hour, like, sometimes trying to take this perfect picture for social media. It's a deception.
Right. And that's a struggle that you have, right?
It's flattery.
And
I'm trying to buy your affection is ultimately what I'm doing.
Yeah, man. And that's something that I think our culture is struggling with more today.
Yeah, it's so ingrained. Social media changed the game. Anyway, we're going to keep talking about this. But you know, go and read his essay. Read the essay. It's short, a great read.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. Isn't this a good quote, though? I mean, it's kind of long, but like, yes. Mm-hmm. When I read that, I thought, that is exactly what our world... It just describes it. And he wrote this, you know, 50 years ago. How much worse is it
today?
I mean, even just from the, from, you know, in the year 2000.
Here you go, Juan. Sorry.
The
Sorry,
iPhone,
my friend.
The iPhone didn't exist.
Right.
It, what was it, 2008 when the iPhone came out? I mean,
maybe seven. Yeah, something like that.
It's
7 or 8. Yeah, because I remember.
It seems like it's been out for a long time.
I was in college and I got the first, like, smart, quote unquote, smartphone I got was a BlackBerry. And I was able to check email.
That's what I have now.
And it was like, this is epic. I get to check email on my phone. This is something that was mind-blowing.
Hmm.
This is before, like, the Facebook app anything like that.
It only takes, like, five. Yeah, well, look, Juan actually, this is Juan's
cell phone. Cellular
current,
device.
Current phone.
Yeah.
If you call him, this thing will ring.
Yeah. His number is... no, but so, Dave, here's something that I struggle with, but I think about at times.
Okay.
Because it is nice to hear the flattery, right? As guys, you know, you're walking down the airport, somebody recognizes you, says, "Oh, I listened to your stuff," or "Oh, I recognize you for whatever X, Y, or Z reason." You say, "Thank you so much. God be praised," or, you know, "Thanks be to God," whatever, and you walk away. And what happens? You feel good about yourself.
Sure.
You're like,
sure.
Wow, out of all these people walking down this terminal, I was recognized.
Right. But there's a difference between authentic, a real compliment, and flattery. And, you know, there's situations like that, like this guy in the terminal, he doesn't want anything from you. He's just a random person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never going to have the opportunity to now extract gain. You know, he's not paying that compliment as a currency that he can cash in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's the difference. One thing I learned from reading the book Deerslayer is that only the honest man has the capability of paying a true compliment. It's, you know, without... virtue in your possession, because you actually possess it, you know, and it changes mm-hmm. who you are. So like Dr. Cutterback, when he was here recently, he used the example that a courageous man is courageous even while he's asleep. When he attains the virtue of courage, he is courageous. It's who he is, right? And the virtuous man is knowable in that way, because the unvirtuous man, how will he behave in any circumstance? You don't know, because he doesn't possess the virtue. He doesn't possess these habits. But the virtuous man is dependable. You can predict what he will do, and so he's knowable. So it's only the man who possesses honesty as a virtue that can truly compliment somebody. So in this book, Deerslayer, the main character, there's this beautiful, you know, one of the...
Which is what? The prequel to The Last Mohican? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Are there two or three of them? There's just two of them.
There's three,
but The Last of Mohicans is in the middle. I never did the third one. What was it?
The Pathfinder.
Yeah, I didn't ever read that one. I need to do that one still. But yeah, so he's this super virtuous person. Deerslayer, I preferred over Last of the Mohicans because it really, you got Deerslayer's virtue was just so solidified in this novel. And there's this beautiful woman. Everybody tells her how beautiful she is, right? She's heard it her whole life. But when Deerslayer says it to her, it's like she
means something.
It's like, yes, she's never heard it before. So,
because his yes means yes, and his
exactly.
no means no.
Exactly.
And that's the problem, right? Because like within virtue, you have to do the little things that build up the virtuous muscle, if you will, for the big things. And so it's the little things that you don't necessarily really care about, but it's at work. Oh, I'm just leaving for whatever reason. Oh, I'm sick today. Or, you know,
I give myself a pass.
Or I give myself a pass. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, or, you know, with your kids. Oh, guys, go on. Dad's whatever is frustrated today or whatever it is. Like,
I've earned this 5 minutes on social media, so don't interrupt it for me.
Yeah, and that
I've done. I do that.
I like, man. I just get upset with myself when that happens because I reflect back on it and I'm like,
at my judgment, that'll be
something that I have
to
account
for. One of
the
most common. It's like, oh, look at this. Elizabeth drew you a picture and you didn't even notice. She came to you and you didn't even notice.
And gave it to
you. Gave her like the, oh yeah, great, and didn't even know what she was doing.
Anna did that to me tonight. She said, Dad, I drew you a picture. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I was like, I was engulfed in this email. And so I was like trying to finish it up. And I looked at it really quick and she goes, yeah, let's see the purple. And I was like, oh yeah, I see the purple. And like I instantly went back. And she was still trying to talk to me about the greens and the yellows and everything else.
Right.
And
if you're like me, you say, well, this is okay because this email is important.
Right.
I'm not just on Facebook.
Right.
I'm actually doing something productive.
And meaningful.
And so, but as if that makes it okay to...
Because my first vocation is to my wife. My second vocation is to my kids.
Especially...
And then everything else.
Especially if it's like after work.
Right.
You know, like...
Man, I just am so bad at that.
It's so hard, especially for a lot of guys, to turn it off. I think you might be one of those people.
I'm terrible at it. Like, I don't turn things off.
See, I'm like the opposite.
Yeah, you're so good at it. And I'm jealous at it, of it at times. And, I'm so frustrated at it
there's,
at times.
There's pros and cons.
Yeah.
Pros and cons, Adam.
Yeah.
I just want to finish up this.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
We didn't get to propaganda, which is fine. Yeah. Because that really introduces a political element, but it's...
Ooh. Well, it's a good thing because now we're not on any kind of radio, so
yeah,
we can
but,
say whatever
I mean,
we want.
This is a propaganda season.
Jim's over here sweating, just worried about like what we're going to say.
Trump called us. He said we could talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So what the peepster says is that serving tyranny, when this abusive language, when tyrannical people use it to serve themselves, the corruption and abusive language becomes known as propaganda. Okay? The abuse of political power is fundamentally connected with the sophistic abuse of the word. Indeed, finds in it the fertile soil in which to hide and grow and get ready, so much so that, I actually underlined this, the latent potential of the totalitarian poison can be ascertained, as it were, by observing the symptom of the public abuse of language. That is a mouthful.
Yeah, I don't even know what you said, other than I got a chance to read it as you were reading it, because Juan is bomb.com.
There's the thing again.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I just said. It's almost like I'm God the Father, and I speak it.
No, no.
And it's just there on
no.
the screen.
No.
I'll tell you, Adam, as the one saying the words, it feels...
This is pride.
Adam, it's very empowering.
This is very prideful.
It's very empowering.
Yeah.
Okay, but the latent potential, so that just means like the possibility. It's like sitting there in waiting, the potency of the totalitarian poison can be measured by observing the public abuse of the language. So when I read this, this is where, to me, the novel 1984 really came. Because, you know, here we have, it's against the law. It's criminal to say certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
in Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Canada. I mean, there are places that are getting awfully 1984-ish.
Yeah.
But in the book, like, there's thought crime. Mm-hmm. It's where it's it. And we have that now. So, do you remember when the baker in Colorado,
right?
He refused to bake the cake for the gay wedding, and he went to court and he lost. And you know, he and his whole staff, part of their sentencing was they had to go to re-education training. This happened in this country. Re-education training.
I thought he won.
No. At first, he lost.
Oh.
And then things, I mean, that was in the state courts.
Hmm.
Okay. So I remember when I heard that he was sentenced to re-education training, it freaked me out because that's the most communist thing I've ever heard happen in this country. It's like, you're not allowed to think the way that you want to think.
We're going to tell you.
You'll think the way we educate you, right? Okay. So, and kind of like what you said from the book, they're constantly in 1984 removing Every year.
They're removing a little bit of language.
They come out with the new new speak dictionary.
That's what they're doing now. I mean, they're taking out all the, you know, we're talking about gender and sex, and like, we'll remove some of this and then add this other. And I mean, man, it drives me crazy. And I think about this as I'm scrolling through these news feeds, which I've had to mute and unfollow and snooze tons of people just for my own sanity. Think about, like, do you even know what you're saying? Like, do you understand what you're saying, or are you just trying to, like, the your little Lord of the Rings fan, Elijah Wood, is that what his name is?
The guy who plays Frodo?
Yeah, Frodo guy? Uh-huh. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He came out tonight, or this week, talking about how masculinity has nothing to do with the male gender, and how... it means nothing about...
This is a perfect segue to my next bullet point here.
Okay.
Is that we see this in today's media and how the media has distorted who man is. And how today, nothing is certain. Everything is on a spectrum. I mean, what today isn't on a spectrum? Hey, look. Mm-hmm. Look at that. That actually is my... I'm the one who wrote that, actually. Those are my words. Those are not Pieper words.
Okay. Just leave it as Pieper for his pride.
It does say Joseph Pieper down there. Yeah. He's always stealing my stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing about Pieper.
You know, dead guys, they can vote and steal your quotes. It's incredible. Dead people today are so talented.
Yeah.
But it's like everything is on a spectrum, and it's so, you know, it's the relative, moral relativism. You know, who do you want to be? How do you want to feel? You know, all of this stuff. What are you laughing about?
I'm just thinking about, like, being, like, the month of November and, like, going out to the cemetery and, like, praying for all the souls. And being like, I just want to pray for you guys, and I just want to thank you for your vote.
Who'd you vote for? So, great-grandpa.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm digressing.
I thought you were a registered Republican, but looks like you voted Democrat again. And I noticed you voted 5 times this year. That's really strange.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
They sent me 5 ballots, too, in the mail. I didn't know we could fill them all out. Okay. Sorry. We digress. The general public is being reduced to a state where people not only are unable to find out the truth, but also are becoming... Look at that. Juan, how did you do that? Juan is amazing. He's like you know what he's like? A wizard.
No one will know what we're talking about if they're not watching the video. But anyway, go ahead.
Like,
I'm sorry.
A wizard. Okay. The general public is unable to find the truth out. In fact, they're becoming unable to even search for the truth because they're satisfied with the deception and trickery that have determined their convictions.
Well, and see, that's a perfect example of what we're talking about in Vegas. How many people do you see go in Vegas and they're just like satisfied? Like, this is life. I'm getting stimulated. Like,
it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming,
yeah.
And these things are like encompassing who we are and like what our decisions are. And we think this is life. I'm good with this. And you don't stop and think about, like, well, why are they yelling and screaming at us? Why are they throwing a bunch of lights at us? Why are they continually trying to get our attention?
Pay no attention about what's going on behind the curtain.
Right.
You know? Yeah, that's
exactly.
What it is.
Like, yeah.
Oh, hey, look over here. You know, it's like it's like a magic trick in a building.
Sleight of hand.
You know, it's like,
with our life.
Right, because that's what magic is really all about. It's like, look over here. This is a flourish. Don't pay attention, you know, to what I'm doing over here in plain sight. But when I read this, I thought, like, how ironic, where it says people today are becoming, they're unable to search for the truth. And it's like, literally today, that is becoming more and more true. You know, when it comes to certain opinions being, you know, you just, they hide them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get blocked, accounts get canceled. You literally cannot even get on Google and search for certain things because they're suppressed. You know, it's just like, wow, the irony of this literally happening, you know? One thing that he says, like, I was trying to think, how do you wrap this up? Like, I wanted to end on, like,
a positive note.
Good, right? So he does have a line here in the end that just talks about, well, okay, if these are all the abuses, what's good? You know, what's good? So he says that a language is well ordered when its words express reality with as little distortion and as little omission as possible.
The omission is the key for me.
Today,
on a personal level, like, yeah, and just.
Well, I think that's like the flavor of today. I think back in like Socrates' day or Aristotle's day, it was more about changing. You know, they were distorting things. You know, using verbs in a, you know, well, like in order to twist things.
They're one and the same almost because, you know, the omission is in order to twist it.
It is a deception.
It's
right,
a deception.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not giving
it's
you
a,
this.
A different genre of the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind, not degree, or degree, not a kind.
No, I think it's different in kind. Well, no, maybe you're right.
I think it's degree and not a kind.
I think it's different in genre. It's the same.
Dude, I wish that we studied philosophy in college.
I took philosophy in college.
I took one world philosophy.
My philosopher.
That's what I took in college. That's the only philosophy class I've ever taken. And you know what? I got a 92% in that class.
Best grade of my life.
It was really good.
My this is so perfect. My philosophy teacher had a ponytail.
Mine did too.
Did he? No way.
Yes, he did. It was awesome.
Oh, that is hilarious. Is it though?
I don't know. That was the only college philosophy class. But had I have known what even philosophy was,
but the question is, Adam,
I wasn't mature enough to even know.
Would you have wanted to take philosophy at Oklahoma State?
No.
I mean, like, maybe if you took philosophy, you'd be ruined. Maybe you'd be poisoned.
Maybe you'd be.
Maybe you'd be dead inside.
I was about to say something else.
Even worse.
Juan, thanks so much for all your help this evening, man. You did a great job. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you for making me look awesome when I would say things and then they'd be on the screen.
And we need to record a promo really fast. So let's go. We're on the Lord's team.
Winning side.
Raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.